But Nathaniel, we've got, as Christians, a privilege. A privilege that most Christians, I think, don't even think about. This privilege is called prayer. And when you really think about it, what is prayer? What is prayer? Talking to God. Now, you talk to your parents every day. At least I hope you do. And we can talk to God in the same way. And we've got another privilege that most Christians take for granted. We can call God Father. And we can know that He always hears us. Even when Dad is too busy watching football game Sunday or something, you know you can go to God and He'll take time off from that football game and listen to you. I'm sure your dad would too. But this is a privilege. And there are many mysteries about prayer. That, just to think that God Almighty will listen to me or to you or to any Christian. He's even ready to listen to sinners who are trying to find Him. What a privilege. And when you think about it, does He really hear me? The Bible says yes. And we'll know He'll answer prayer. Sometimes the answer is no, sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes the answer is later. Let me tell you, Nathaniel, I prayed and prayed and prayed for a wife. Then I gave up praying for a wife and went to Germany to do mission work. You know what happened in Germany? I got married. I thought God told me no, that's not time for a that I didn't need a wife. Well, I thought I did, but it's when I stopped looking that I found one. And God is always there to listen to us. But there's funny things about prayer too. The Bible teaches that God knows what we're thinking. I mean, how often did Jesus know what people were thinking? So you think, well, why do I need to talk to God when He knows what I'm thinking anyways? The Bible also teaches that the Holy Spirit helps us. When we don't know what to say to God, the Holy Spirit helps us. Why do I need to pray? Because we're human beings. And human beings need to talk. We need to talk. We need to be listened to. And my wife, well, she'll probably tell you, I talk a lot. But if I didn't have anybody to listen to me, I don't know what I'd do. I like talking. But everybody, most everybody, I should say, likes to talk and be heard. And that's why I say prayer is a gift of God to us, that anytime we need to talk, He's got an ear open to us. Even when He knows what we're already thinking, we need to talk. And God is always there for us. He listens to us. So prayer is not for God. Prayer is for us. And this is often a gift that we take for granted and don't think about. How often, and I'm just as guilty, how often do we sometimes go without talking to God? Something else about talking. Another word, when you go to the university, you discover this word, communication. Talking is communication. I needed college to tell me that. But communication is needed in every relationship. When your mom and dad don't talk to one another, what does that usually mean, Nathaniel? But there's a problem there, usually. they don't want to talk to one another. Talking, communication is needed in every relationship. What happens when you don't talk to your neighbor? Well, that could be a souring of relationship. And so we need to talk to God to keep the relationship going. This thought of prayer is a privilege. It's a gift of God that allows us to communicate with God Almighty, the Creator of everything, and to call Him Father. This is because of what Jesus did. And this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So prayer is not only conversation. Prayer is a relationship with God. And it's one of the ways that we keep close to God. Now, I'm going to read a parable that has to do with prayer. It's one of two parables in Luke chapter 18 that deal with prayer. So if you have your Bibles, please open to Luke chapter 18. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 8. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. That's also interesting. That they should pray at all times. They ought to pray at all times. Sometimes we pray once a week, once a day. But here, Jesus is saying we need to pray all the time and not to lose heart. But now here's the parable. In a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" And that's the topic of my sermon, finding faith on earth. To understand this parable, we need to realize something. This conversation started in chapter 17. Sometimes our chapters aren't divided very good. But this conversation started in chapter 17 when a Pharisee came to Jesus. And this Pharisee's question came in verse 20 of chapter 17. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." This was the start of this whole topic that Jesus in chapter 18 brought to prayer. The thought of the kingdom of God. It's interesting. This Pharisee came to Jesus, the Messiah, who was bringing the kingdom, and wanted to know, when will the kingdom come? How will we know when it is here? And you know what Jesus said? "Man, are you crazy? You're looking for signs and signs and signs. You're so preoccupied that you missed the coming of the kingdom. You missed the whole thing. I'm here in your midst. I am the kingdom of God, and I am bringing the kingdom of God. And you're so preoccupied with looking for signs that you didn't see it." And then Jesus turned to his disciples and started talking about the kingdom of God. He mentioned to them in chapter 17 that the time will come when people will say, "Here is the kingdom and there is the kingdom." But he says, don't listen to him. Because Jesus said, when I come back for the second time, and when Jesus comes back that second time, he's bringing the kingdom back in its full, completed, perfect form. He started the kingdom on earth with the church. Remember, Satan is in charge of our world at the moment, and Jesus started the invasion. And now, believe it or not, you're part of the invading army, Nathaniel, and taking over this world and bringing it back into the authority of God. So, you're a soldier of Christ now. The good thing is you don't got to go to Iraq. You can stay here and be a soldier for Christ. And our war is different, Nathaniel. Our war is not with guns. Our weapons are the Bible. To bring people the peace of Jesus Christ and the freedom that comes from being a Christian. But he says, when I come again with the perfect kingdom, and I'm bringing it in its completed form, everybody will know. Now, I was in outside a while ago in the men's meeting, but there were some loud booms in here. And I'm assuming there was lightning in the sky. Now, do you miss lightning when you're outside? I mean, do you not see it when it comes? I think everybody sees lightning. I even like to look through the window from safety of the house and watch lightning. Sometimes it's really pretty. But Jesus said, when I come, it's going to be like lightning. No one's going to miss it. So you don't need to be looking for signs for the second coming of Christ. When it happens, you'll be the first to know if you're looking, because you'll see it. And so this was his thought. The kingdom of God had started. God had started the kingdom within his church on earth. And he's giving everybody the chance to come to this kingdom, isn't he, Philip? Isn't that the purpose of Jesus coming? To save the lost, to bring them into the kingdom of God. It started. The Pharisees missed the boat. But we have the chance to get on that boat. And so he starts telling his disciples the problem with people who don't see the kingdom, that the kingdom is already here. You know what the problem was? Did anybody read ahead of me? Nobody. Well, I read ahead. He said, don't be like the people at the time of Noah. Now, Nathaniel, do you know Mr. and Mrs. Noah? I don't either. But they are Bible characters from the Old Testament. Noah was asked to build a great big giant boat, and he and his family and many, many animals got to go on that boat when God destroyed the world with a flood. And Jesus here said, don't be like the people at the time of Noah. They missed the boat. And why did they miss the boat? Well, Jesus said they were marrying, they were drinking, they were eating, they were preoccupied with all the things of life that they missed, that God was going to punish them. Offered them first. I forgot. How long did Noah preach? I forgot. Was it how long? Louder? 120 years? He preached 120 years that God was going to destroy the earth. So, I don't know. Will you live that long, Nathaniel? Maybe. Who knows? But the thought is, he preached 120 years that God was going to punish them, and the people, they were eating and drinking and getting married and thinking about getting married, and they missed the boat. Or he said, don't be like Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah were two cities that God destroyed in the Old Testament. And then he said something very important. Remember Lot's wife. Now, what was Lot's wife's name? We don't know. The Bible just calls her Lot's wife. But what did Lot's wife do? That's the warning for us. She looked back at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible gives us the idea. Her heart was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Her friends. Her house. I don't know what all she had in that house or how many friends she had. But the thought the Bible presents here is that her heart was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And not with God. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife. She was preoccupied with the things in Sodom and Gomorrah that interested her more than doing the will of God. That's the warning for us. And then Jesus comes to this parable about prayer. And you think, the what? has that got to do with what he just said? Well, a whole lot. Because Jesus said the question is wrong that the Pharisees asked. The question is not, when will the kingdom come? Jesus says the correct question is, when the Son of Man comes again, will he find faith on the earth? That's the question, says Jesus. That's important. How preoccupied are we? Because when he comes again, he brings the completed, perfect kingdom of God and will take the saints to heaven in eternity to live with God in that kingdom. And this parable is an interesting parable. Now, I don't know how much I spent the last number of years going through the Old Testament on Wednesday night with the church in Olsnitz. And I learned a lot. Let me tell you, the Old Testament is packed with good stuff. If you've never read some of that Old Testament, read it through. There is really good stuff there for us as Christians. But there were three groups of people that God and the law of Moses protected. Specially protected. We know widows is one of those. You know who the other two groups are? Well, and the orphans, good for. Can't count, never could. The orphans, the sojourners, the visitors, and of course the poor. And they all were specially protected by the law of Moses. And so this story, this parable, brings to your attention something is not right. Here is a widow of Israel, specially protected by the law of Moses, and she can't get righteousness. She can't get justice in Israel. She has to go to a judge and beg for help, and this judge says no. And she keeps going and keeps going and keeps going, and finally the judge says, good, I'll help you if you stop coming and bothering me. And then God says, do you get the point? If this judge who doesn't fear God, if this judge who doesn't fear man will help and give this woman justice, won't God, who is just, help? And the whole thought of this whole parable was this thought. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. How long has it been since Jesus has been on earth? About, we don't have to give me an exact date and time. How many years since Jesus? About 2,000 years. What would happen if you were waiting for something to come? After a 2,000 year wait, what would you start thinking? It's not going to come. It's not going to come. And when you think it's not going to come, then what do you start doing? Looking for something else. And that's the problem. Jesus is telling his disciples, it may take a long time for my second coming. Now there's a reason, and Peter tells us that in his letters. Because God loves all people. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. And he's waiting patiently, giving everybody a chance to come back to him. So Jesus says, this may take a long time. God, the patience of God is much more than my patience. 2,000 years, I don't know if I can wait that long for someone to come to Christ. But God can. And he's waiting patiently for all people to come back. And so the whole thought here was we should continually pray, trusting in God, knowing that he will bring justice. If this unjust judge will bring justice to this woman, then God will too. We shouldn't give up in prayer, Nathaniel. And I'm telling Nathaniel this because he's a young Christian, but many of us older Christians need to learn this point too. Don't give up. How how often should we pray to God about something before we stop praying about it? As long as it takes. Does God ever get tired of hearing our request? No. When I was by Bert and Zona the other day, oh, here they are. It didn't take me long to know one of Bert's loves, Wyoming. He talked about it. We tend to talk about things that what? That are important to us. And God knows that. And so God will listen. I'm sure that Jennifer back there has been praying about this baby, that it's going to be healthy. And if she does it every day, I don't think God's going to complain. He's probably very happy that Jennifer trusts Him and comes to Him in prayer. But that's true for everyone. I pray for my wife and my children every day. I don't think God gets tired of hearing me. And that's the point. He doesn't get tired. Some people think, I'll tell Him once, He's got a good memory, He won't forget. But when something is important, we tend to talk about it. My wife, she hates it when I pull down an atlas. I love geography. I love history. And she'll by accident say, now where is that? I go get my atlas and I'm going to show her. And with it, she'll get the history of everything. And she always, but I love that stuff. My son, he loves soccer. There's a team in Munich that's one of his favorite teams. And he likes to talk about some of the players on that team. I mean, of course, his favorite player is no longer there. but when you talk about the things that are important, and God said, go to it. I'm listening. He's got the ears, and He's ready to listen. And I'm way off my list. I didn't even look, did I? So I have no idea if I've said what's on my paper here. Another important thing that we need to understand about prayer, it is relationship. It is a relationship to God. It is a gift of God that allows us to talk to Him. I don't know if you could even fathom this thought. We can talk to God Almighty. We're allowed to call Him Father. So my whole point is that prayer is not a point in time. Prayer is a way of life. It is something that a Christian must learn to do without even thinking, to go to the Father in prayer. And I don't think it matters what you say. When my mother, many of you knew my mother, Noveline Renner, when she had cancer, I must have gone to him every 10 minutes asking why. I don't think he got tired of listening to me. Because I complained a good bit back in those days to God in prayer about why my mother had cancer. And God is willing to listen, even to the complaints, because He loves us. And that's an important point. God loves you. He's given you this gift of communication to Him. Communication that we need. And what happens when communication stops? The relationship stops. And believe me, it's not God that stops talking. It's we that stop talking. So I don't believe there is ever a time when we can say that we have talked too much to God. But this brings us back to that question that Jesus asked. Will the Son of Man, when He come, find faith on earth? I don't know if you noticed that, but Jesus connected a prayer life to faith on earth. And that brings us back to chapter 17. When Jesus comes again for that second time, you probably still didn't read ahead of me, so I'll go ahead and read it. If I can find it. Here. There will be two women grinding at the same place. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other will be left. What did Jesus say? Not everybody will be found in faith when Jesus comes. But we can be ready if we continue in prayer. If we pray for each other. If we pray for the church of Plymouth. If we pray for the lost in Plymouth. Have you ever thought about praying that God show us the lost that is looking for Him? Or are we afraid He might do it? I knew a man one time that stopped singing this one song. Oh, I can't remember how it goes now. Bring me a soul today. I can't think of how that song goes. But there's a song that says, bring me a soul today. And he stopped singing. He says, what if God really did that? He was afraid to talk about Jesus to people. But that's what we need to be doing. We need to be praying for Jennifer and her baby that's coming. We need to be praying that more young people learn about Jesus like Nathaniel, that they will accept the Jesus Christ. We need to be praying that those who no longer come, come again. We need to be praying for one another. Because this relationship is not only with God. We are a family at Plymouth. Brothers and sisters in Christ. God loves us, and we should love one another and be ready to pray for one another. How is your relationship this evening with the Lord Jesus Christ and with God? Do you pray regularly? Do you pray for your fellow Christians? Do you pray for your enemy? Do you pray for your wife and kids or your husband and kids? Do you pray for your neighbor? We should be. And how about this? Are you praying for the second coming of Christ? That justice be brought back into this world destroyed by Satan and our sins? If you'd like to correct your relationship, if you would like to start a relationship with God, please come as we stand and sing.